Thank you. Good afternoon. Last but not least, thank you, John. That's well. That's great. It's good to see you all, and thank you for your patience. What I'm going to talk about today is a little bit different issue, and maybe what many Americans may not be so much aware, as John's just mentioned, of what colonias are all about. But I think PBS did a great series years back, and they call it The Forgotten Americans. And that's what I really would like to talk about, what we call the forgotten Americans in the U.S. side of the border, and what are the issues, especially health determinant issues that we have there. I will talk about background and significance, really what colonias are all about, so we have a common framework to understand the issues of colonias. And in particular, we'll tackle a study that we did with the Texas Department of State Health Services and the University of Texas at El Paso to really understand better the issues of colonias regarding water safety and sanitation in a few colonias there as a pilot study to understand the overall region, what the methods and procedures that we used, the results and the discussion and implications for the future. What are colonias? Well, besides being known as the Forgotten Americans, really they are unincorporated areas in the rural border areas in Texas, primarily. They're really all along the border, but Texas and New Mexico are where really the primarily colonias are located. They are unincorporated, meaning that the counties are really the government of these colonias, not the cities, and really where the, one of the poorest of the poor in Texas in particular, that's where they live. The estimates say that there are about 1,800 colonias in the border, in the Texas-Mexico border, for about 500,000 people. So we have about 500,000 people, already second-generation Americans in many cases, that they're living in these colonias. As you can see in the map, the El Paso area near the New Mexico-Mexico border and the lower Rio Grande Valley is really the main concentration for the colonias. Just to put some numbers to it so we get the characteristics, because the census data doesn't really have specific information about the colonias. Yes, we have to take, for example, El Paso County, if we take as a place where it's one of the most populous areas for colonias. And just brief look, we can see that in general, the people in El Paso County, compared with Texas and the U.S., the average household size is bigger, the median age, younger people, mostly Hispanic or Latino, less educated, primarily they can speak language other than English at home, and definitely we can see the numbers in the per capita income and below poverty level, that it's a much more poor population than we expect on the average for the state and for the U.S. on average. So what Texas has done so far in the colonias, I mean, yes, it's an issue, but definitely the state and at the federal level, they have done lots of work during the years since 1987. The Texas legislature enacted bills and resolutions to address the issues of the colonias, primarily through infrastructure and money. I mean, how you can really provide funds to build infrastructure regarding water, sanitation services, and in some cases, health services as well. One of the issues was really how to halt the colonial proliferation, and that to a certain extent has been successful, but not so much because, you know, people change their ways, but they continue building if that's really a possibility. What really happened regarding policies such as basic infrastructure is that the policy decision making has done is in a way in a simple matter. They divided, like we can see, three different colors. We have like a green, like a yellow, and a red, and they call the colonias in that way. If they have infrastructure, like complete water and sanitation, we have about 200,000 people living in those conditions, are green colonias, and the priority for infrastructure and the priority for investment is less. Then we go back, we go to yellow, and then we go to red. And in red, we have about 45,000 people, 50 altogether, we see what they announce, and about 400 colonias along the Texas-Mexico border. They have no water, no sewer system, no infrastructure for sanitation, and in many cases, definitely no health services and other basic services for living. But that really captures the base for decision making. It's in a way a simple way, but that's how the funds are being allocated from the state or the federal level. What we can, when we really make the association between water and health in particular, then we ask, is it really a problem? And the question is, the only thing we can say is that we really don't know. There are very few studies, good epidemiological studies done with water and health along the border in these particular colonias, but a study done in 2003 by the Texas Department of State Health Services in school districts where the colonias are located showed that the prevalence, for example, for parasites in first grade school children were between 10 and 53%. For those that are not familiar with how the prevalence of parasites, it's expected that industrial countries, in developed countries, will be between 1% and 3%, and in underdeveloped countries, so in the wage for development, you expect between 10% and 15%, up to 20% of prevalence. Definitely, that locates the border region and the colonial region more as a developing country and not as a developed country regarding the prevalence for parasites. That's just an example. Unfortunately, there's very few data that can really back the information understanding, also the complexities of understanding the issue of water and health. What really is getting even more of an issue is the issue of violence. And as was mentioned before, and I think probably all of you are familiar, now it's also in the New York Times, in the Wall Street Journal, the issue of violence in Juarez, violence along the border. Many people ask us if there really that there is a trickle to the other side of the border of violence. And really, even if you don't see it in the streets, there are one issue that I really would like to mention there. And I will really let me explain, for example, on the table. You have El Paso County Sheriff Department data, El Paso Police Department data, Texas and the U.S. The difference between the Sheriff Department and the Police Department is one, it takes consideration only the county, but not the city. And the police department is the city without counting the taking consideration of the county. So that really creates a good difference between the colonias that they are located at the county level, being by the sheriff department and not by the police, by the El Paso Police Department. And even though the other, in general, the variables that violent crime is provided by the Texas Department of Public Safety shows one issue that really took heart with the Texas Department of State Health Services, which is the rape issue, that it's about double of what it is in the U.S., Texas, and the city of El Paso. The question is just one point in time. It was happening in 2009, so then we did a very simple trend analysis, went back, and as you can see in the U.S., even though it's going down a little bit the rate for the past 5 years, the number of the incidents of rape in the El Paso Police Department is going down, but in the El Paso Sheriff Department, which is in the county data, is really going up for 3 years in a row. From 2007, 2009, it's going up. I cannot really tell you what's the reason. We have not done a real, very well defined epidemiological study to really help study to really understand the cause of the rape. But definitely, with the Texas Department of State Health Services, we started to understand, is there a social issue that has changed for the past 3 or 4 years in the county area that may cause an increase in the incidence of rape? And yes, definitely there are. I mean, and that's where the issue of the violence on the other side of the border may have an influence. It has an influence because many people move to this side of the border. They located primarily in the county area many times and not in the city areas for different reasons, immigration issues, because they have family already lived there, for employment reasons that they decided to live in the colonias. And therefore, is something that we really started to look at and see how people perceive their safety in the colonias. So our objective was really to assess the quality of the drinking water, sanitation service, and the safety perceptions of the community of the residents in border colonias in West Texas. We looked at two big locations, and in one location really were three different areas. One is in Colonia Revolucion, which is in El Paso County, near Horizon City. And the other one is in Hatchet County, where there are three different areas in a town called Fort Hancock of about 3,000 people. Many of you maybe have read in the New York Times a few months ago, there was a whole article in a Sunday New York Times about the city of Fort Hancock, exactly for the issue of crossing the border in the Fort Hancock area. When we see the demographics of this area, definitely we see that the people, they are most of them, 99% are Latino or Hispanic. Most of them, they speak Spanish at home, and their household income is way below of the average national, state, and even county level, and the households below poverty is about 100% in some of the areas and 85%. So we definitely are talking with the poorest of the poor in these areas of the colonias. What we tried to do is develop a cross-sectional study. The colonias were selected by interagency state group of Texas agencies, the Texas Department of State Health Services, Secretary of State, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and other agencies. We really interviewed all the households in the colonia, into a couple of colonias, and a representative sample, statistical representative samples in others. The promotoras or community health workers that administer the household surveys, and the study was approved by the Texas Department of State Health Services. And what we see definitely is that even though decision making in the border is done simply by saying you have piped water or you don't have piped water, when we look into the data, what we see is very different communities. Some communities, they don't have, they are served water. The green corresponds, it's a green colonia. The yellow will be like a yellow colonia. The red is a red colonia. But you see that even though some, they should be all about what we expect, what we see is that a green colonia that in theory has a public service system being served, that public service system does not have the capacity to provide water to that particular area. What we also see is that if we go to the water quality and go to the EPA database, is that there are some of the water districts that they have over 20 violations over a five-year period of their water quality standards. That's, so the question is not that simple when you have to decide what's the water that people drink in the colonias. There are issues of resources because we are in the desert. There's no water. Naturally, there's no water. This issue of water quality, because they are always, they are many times violating the water quality standards. And there is also the issue that there's not enough funds and money to really capture and really have water for all the people. What's really the inequity issue here is one that really breaks the heart of every person, which is about a family in a colonia spends between 20 to 25% of their income buying water. 20 to 25%. You and I, on a regular middle-income family in El Paso City, should not spend more than 3 to 5% of their monthly income to buy water. It's definitely an inequality issue when a family has to spend between 20 to 25%. If they make about $1,000 a month, they spend about $150 to $200 in water per month. And many times they don't even know the quality of the water that they're buying and drinking. So here is just in a plot by General Seas to show that one simple variable saying if you don't have a pipe, what you have is not a simple answer. There can be issues of water resources, there can be issues of access, there can be issues of the community capacity, can they pay or they cannot pay for it, and there are issues of environmental impact. And all what they show, I'm not going to go to explain in detail the plot, but it's like they are very different, depends where you are. That's really what we want to show. It's not the simple answer to say you have a pipe or you don't have a pipe. It's an issue, you have access to water, you don't. You can pay for it or you can't. You do have a pipe or you don't, and what's the impact on the environment that you do. And if we go now finally to the safety perceptions regarding all the issues of safety for people, it's what people do not say is what really was most important for us. Because if you keep all these answers here, though what people answer, you will say, what a safe community we have here. People can respond to call 911, they feel safe. But we spent a long time trying to come up with the right questions. And what we felt was a little fear, especially in towns like Fort Hancock, more than in El Paso County, and that's where we can see the difference between the two. And that is reflected here is when we ask them finally, so what's the most important intervention to prevent crime? What was interesting is that most people answer additional policing. So safe that they feel, but definitely all want additional policing. Something is not right, so that's more about what it was not told in the questions, which was very hard because the Texas Department of State Health Services was not willing really to ask, being a state agency, and understandably so, ask very hard questions in order not to create an issue in the communities, and interviewing and being in the interviews, we can see that issue. And the other is Neighborhood Watch as one of the important. What is really interesting is that the most needed community, which is called Colonia Villalegre, it's reported there as CVA, is the one that nobody in that colonia reported that they were interested in having a neighborhood watch, but most of them, they wanted additional policing. So that really tells you the picture of what not being told about maybe where we should go in order to understand more these issues. There are several definite limitations of this study that you have there. We're not going to be out for a time, but finally, really the implications is that this provides, in a process that we're working with all the with several agencies of the state of Texas and the University of Texas at El Paso, is really provides information that will continue working, hopefully with the university, on a community-based participatory research process to really advance more equitable and sustainable policies and programs in the border colonias that hopefully may help reduce health disparity associated with borne diseases and other health outcomes in the Texas border with Mexico. Thank you very much.